Jane will be back in a moment, so here we go. Alright, okay, so has anyone got anything they'd like to ask or share to start with?
I have a few questions.
Okay.
Well, I've been looking at the, well, I've been reading Ian Clayton's book on Realms of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
And I've been, Lord has been talking to me a lot this year about the heart. And he mentioned very briefly about the four chambers of the heart.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at intimacy in particular and just going deeper. And he mentioned the first one being the dance floor. What are the other three?
Okay, well, I mean, the first one is actually the garden of the heart. That's the key interaction with our heart, and it is trying to get a fuller picture of how things flow. And literally, what really happens is once you are born again and your spirit becomes alive to God, the kingdom comes to dwell within your spirit, so that Father, Son, Spirit, they dwell within your spirit as a realm of the kingdom, which is where God rules. That has within it our first love gate. You know, where Jesus in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, that's what he's knocking on from beyond the, in the kingdom, into our spirit. So we have the ability to open that door to welcome the presence of God to fill our spirit. So the Holy Spirit as the river of life, Jesus, the Father, and we can engage them within our spirit. And that's where intimacy really takes place. That's where first love, where we embrace the and are baptized deeper into Father, Son, and Spirit, and there's lots of experiential engagement there within our own spirit. Our spirit has senses or gates that flow into the soul. And so that our subconscious mind, which is our heart, that actually is where the garden and the four other aspects of engaging within our soul are. So it's literally the garden of our heart corresponds to the garden of that Adam and Eve had to tend and cultivate, which was flowing from the river of life, which just came from Eden, the garden of God, which is in the realms of heaven, and those two realms overlapped. So the garden, which was in east of Eden, was overlapping with, in a sense, dimensionally, with the garden, God's garden, Eden, and the river of life was flowing from one to the other, and then it says that the river of life then split into four and went out to water the earth. So subsequently, having access to Eden was blocked because of sin, then now our spirit is the access to the garden of God in Eden, in heaven, through the river of life that flows into our spirit. But for it to actually flow into our life and out of our life, it has to flow through the garden of our heart. And then we are responsible to look after and tend that garden. And if you think of the parable of the sower, Jesus said that there are four soils of the heart, and those are the soils in our garden that we have to make sure we deal with, so that we have good soil that we can then cultivate and tend and look after our garden and develop the intimacy with God there, so that that engages our soul and begin to transform our soul. And again, the scripture that will help you with that is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters. That's the garden of my heart. And in other scriptures, it's, you know, we are described as a garden, a well-watered garden. That is where we can begin to embrace our secret place of intimacy with Him within our own heart. Where we can engage with the river of life within our own heart, and then that river can flow through our soul and flow out of our soul into the world around us, and literally then we create an atmosphere of the kingdom as we surrender and flow from inside out. Now, there are other aspects to that intimacy which is paralleled with the Hebrew marriage ceremony. So the initial connection between two people was looking into each other's eyes and declaring love. And there was a Hebrew word, lakash, that described that, and that's what the garden describes. Then you have the dance floor, which is the betrothal, if you like, when there's a commitment to each other. And the dance floor is where the DNA of God and the Father, Son, and Spirit's DNA as 9 strands of light engage with us to bring transformation to our DNA and our heart. And literally, it's an intimacy of dance with the light of God, and that happens on the dance floor. The next chamber is the soaking room, and that's where the frequency of God and God's fragrance and frequencies, paralleling Esther, when Esther was being prepared to come in to see the king, she had 12 months of preparation where her body was treated with oils and with perfumes and fragrances to prepare her for the king. And so there's a sense where the frequencies of our body and our soul begin to resonate with the frequencies of God, and people are, you know, using safe fragrant oils and high frequency oils as symbols of this, but literally this is a spiritual experience where the very frequencies of God embrace us and begin to transform us and heal us and restore us physically, emotionally, mentally. That is the preparation for us to come into the bridal chamber, which is the 4th chamber of the heart, which, you know, is the bridal chamber, which where there is a joining to the Lord and becoming one spirit with him. And so there, it's a symbolic nature of the 4 rivers that flow and the 4 chambers that are heart. But we're talking about 4 experiential places of encounter that prepares us, brings us into intimacy, changes and transforms us from a DNA level to bring the frequency of our body into alignment, that frees us from the frequency of this earth to become a higher frequency, all embracing the love of God, which is the highest frequency. So that love casts out fear. It brings us into an intimacy of relationship where we're joined to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. And there's levels of that joining. You know, you can be baptized into the Spirit and engage with the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. You can be and have the armor around us of that. 3 armors, armor of light, armor of righteousness, armor of God. You can then engage with being baptized into Jesus and engage the way, the truth, and the life. So you're engaging the way of discipleship. You're embracing the truth, which will lead to the fullness and abundance of life. And then you can engage with the Father, which and be baptized into him, which is about just judgment, justice, and holiness. And therefore, we are then in him, and we are protected by him. And they are just deepening experiences, deep calling to deep, calling us from our spirit to align with our soul, so our soul actually is aligned with our spirit, and transformation takes place, and we become one whole person, body, soul, and spirit. So we become a bench of 3, a symbol of heavenly government within ourselves, because we've embraced Father, Son, and Spirit as the kingdom and invited them into our heart. Now, I'm sort of out working this at the moment in the Engaging God manual in the First Love area. Of module of that, really looking to explain the river of life, looking to explain being yoked to Jesus and how that brings us into that path of the way, truth, and the life, and then looking to engage the Father on the seat of rest and the government in our spirit so that our whole life can be an expression of the government of heaven and the kingdom and manifests through us as a gateway. Because our spirit actually is a dwelling for God. It's also a mountain, symbol of authority. It's also a gateway for heaven to manifest through us, so that the living water that we drink becomes a flowing river, rivers of living water flowing from the inside of us to engage the world around us, so that we create the kingdom and the authority and the power of God radiating through us. And there are mixed metaphors here. You can have it as a river producing that life around us, as in Ezekiel 47, you know, that river which produces life wherever it goes. You can also see it as a radiating the glory or the light of God, so that our good works are the light which will draw people to God. There are different expressions or ways of experiencing that, but it all flows from the inside out, and that's the key. But there's a process of transformation bringing us into wholeness that needs to take place. So our soul needs to be purified, refined. The gateways need to be made open and flowing, so that we have to make sure that we deal with familiar spirits and other things that block up those gateways. And there's a whole process of transformation that takes place in flow, getting us to flow. And of course, that doorway of first love enables us to go back, following the river of life, back into Eden, the garden of God, where we can engage life there. We can engage the waterfalls, the garden of God, the throne of grace. We can engage the tree of life, judgment seat, various places that are operate there, because we have access to flow through that door as we open it. So that's putting it into context. But there are experiences that we can have with God which are all very transformational, taking us deeper and deeper into intimacy, and also deeper and deeper into the revelation of who we are. You know, there are also parallel experiences into that in the realms of heaven, but those are the ones that we encounter here on earth. So yeah.
Can't hear you, Christine.
Yeah, just unmute yourself. There you go.
No, I was saying that, thank you so much for answering. That's a mouthful. there's so much, though, of what you said that resonated with what I feel that I'm already learning, and some of what I feel like I've already experienced, probably not in the kind of detail in which you've just explained it, but so much of it wrong true for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
I think if I may be allowed to ask one more question.
Sure.
Would you be able to speak to someone and know where they are in terms of their level of intimacy based on what you've just described?
Well, I mean, I can talk to someone and listen to where their testimony are, and I can discern from where their testimony are to where they are. But there's a difference between having experiences and having those encounters in experiences than actually having the ability to re-engage in any of the pathways that are in our life and in the realms of heaven. Because to develop those pathways, you have to practice and engage voluntarily, so that there's somewhere you can step back in. So many people have had involuntary encounters in worship or intimacy and even their own times with God, but they can't necessarily do it as a lifestyle. So, you know, what I'm trying to teach people to do is to develop this as their spiritual senses are tuned, so that this becomes the pathway of their lifestyle. So, for instance, I can step back into any of the places that I've engaged in within my own spirit, my own heart, into the Eden and into the realms of heaven governmentally, because I've trodden that pathway over and over and over and over again, and it is now my personal experience, and it's ingrained as part of my life. It's my testimony that gives me access whenever I want to. And that's really where people have experiences but not a lifestyle. And so the experiences have to develop in a lifestyle so that it's just automatically you're able to do it. And I often equate this with driving and learning to drive. You know, when you learn to drive, someone teaches you, they're in the car alongside you, they sometimes have dual controls, and they help you to drive, and you learn about the mirrors, and you learn about the gears, and you learn about the speed, and you learn about all those things. And in doing that, that's really where, when you pass your test, you don't think about those things anymore. You just do them, that you can drive, you know. And so we sometimes there's lots of exercises we can do to help us practice to learning to drive. But when we pass our test, then you don't think about, okay, I need to put the key into the lock and turn the key to open the door. Then I need to put the key into the ignition and turn it. You just do it because you're going somewhere. You just get in the car and you know where you're going and you go. You know, and sometimes, yeah, you need the sat-nav to help you go to a place you've not been before, but you know how to drive. And that's really like it is in the realms of the spirit. Once you have passed the test, if you like, and you engage and you then drive, then you can go to all different sorts of places as you step into the realms of heaven, and God can guide you, you know, and wisdom can guide you, and you can have like a sat-nav to take you to new places. But all the places you've been, you can go back to, because they are now part of your personal testimony and experience. You know, I mean, if you're tuned into the realms of the spirit, you can see where people are from the point of how hot or cold they are, from what's radiating from them. You know, but that's something that, you know, I don't tend to engaging with people, because I want people to engage the relationship with God. And actually, it's like going to God and saying, God, where am I in this journey? You know, can you show me what are the next steps? Can you help me to engage? And in a sense, you know, that's why I'm producing a whole manual with all the exercises that are there to help people. You know, and that manual will be a step-by-step manual to help then people to train other people and give that away and mentor other people into it. Because if you can't teach someone else to do what you've done, then you can't disciple them. And sometimes people have experiences, but they don't know how to help other people have experiences, because they're just things that has happened to them rather than things that they have initiated. So, you know, I have to open the first love gate. You know, I have to invite God into my spirit to rule, and then I have to invite him into the garden of my heart and through into and out through my soul. You know, that's something I do, but I've learned how to do that. You know, when I'm engaging in the government of God, when I go into the realms of heaven governmentally, I present myself as a living sacrifice, and I seek his preparation for me to serve him today, and he gives me a mandate, and I can engage around the ark of his presence. I can receive that mandate, I can step into him, I can begin to engage him there, and experience that, because again, I've developed that pathway. And so the two pathways of relationship and responsibility, they parallel one another, but you can't have responsibility without relationship. That is an illegitimate form of power. It has to flow out of relationship.
Mike, can I ask a question on the back of Christine's question, please?
Yeah.
Okay, just to quickly ask you, it's a couple, I don't know if they'll take long, but the first is, in relation to the intimacy, where does the father heart aspect come into that? So that's the first question. And the second is, can we walk in the, I suppose you'd call it the garden of the heart, the dance floor, the soaking room, and the bridal chambers, without having, can we actually have walked in that without actually knowing in our minds that we've done that? Because that's been my journey, and I was aware of each of the aspects, but I wasn't consciously aware in my mind that they were aspects of the four chambers of the heart, or, you know, really even four aspects in that sense that are linked into that. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
I've been in the bridal chamber and spent time with Jesus there and gone back there over and over again, but I wasn't actually aware that was part of really the four chambers of the heart, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
Everything I've been listening to.
Sure. I mean, some of these things, there are experiences, there are encounters that we have with God, there are burning bushes, there are mountaintops, they are representing times of intimacy that we have with Him that equate to this, because we didn't know that there was a process to follow. We didn't know that there was a journey. We just had the experiences because we were hungry, we were thirsty, we were pursuing God. God met with us. He revealed Himself to us. We just didn't see it in the whole overarching way of, look, this is part of a lifestyle, a journey of relationship that He's developing and then leading us into responsibility as sons. So many people have had these type of encounters. They are not necessarily aware of exactly what they were doing because they didn't understand the protocols or what those encounters actually were doing in terms of when we engage the light of God and His DNA and what how they encode our spirit to then begin to change and encode our soul. You know, that was happening. Revelation was imparted to our spirit that we probably weren't cognitive of, but we received revelation. And some of those were very emotional connections. There was quite very intimacy, but we weren't totally sure exactly what was going on. We just had the encounter and the experience. Well, I think now it's like God is unveiling and bringing the revelation of what those experiences are so that people can choose to follow the journey where those experiences become part of it. You know, and that I think is the difference in having lots and lots of experiences but not knowing how they fitted together or realize what they were doing and then cooperating and going back into them to re-engage them so you could have more and more experiences under it. If you then see and look, wow, yeah, I've experienced that in my life. I had that burning bush encounter. I had that encounter. And then you can equate them with those places of encounter. Then it's like, now I understand how these fit together in my lifestyle, which is then creating me and preparing me to be a son and releasing me into the fullness of that relationship. So when it comes to, for instance, you know, the Father Heart of God, you know, that's been a major teaching in the body for years and years and years. But I believe now that is being sort of updated, if you like, into the reality of the Father fathering me. You know, it's not just, well, I know He loves me. I'm now in an intimate relationship because I know I'm a son with Him as my Father. So that, as a father, He can father me, you know. And so now, when I welcome the Father's presence into my spirit on a daily basis, I yield the seat of rest and the government of my spirit to Him. I then am embracing all that the Father is to me, which is all the names of the Father, the reality of, you know, Jehovah, Jireh, my provider, you know, the compound covenant names of God, you know, the Lord, my healer, the Lord, my sanctifier, the Lord, my righteousness, the Lord, my peace, the Lord, my shepherd. You know, there are names that God revealed Himself. we engage in the fullness of the provision that are within those names as we receive his fathering. And many of us have father wounds that we need healed and restored to enable us to be fathered, you know. And many of us, I mean, I equate this in my own life to having many, many father wounds and it putting me into a sort of minus 100 situation, and all the healing and restoration and the wounds being dealt with brought me back to zero. Now I need to go into the positive. I need to experience what it is to be fathered, to be corrected, to be helped, to be supported, to be all the things that the Father does, you know, as my Father, I now can receive in a totally different way. Because I have a relationship with him, which is a relationship of trust, in which it allows him to engage me in a way he never could before. Because I trust him. So I'm open to receive his discipline because he corrects me and he equips me and he disciples me and changes me. And I'm open for that because I know his love. You know, now I know the love of the Father. Now I can receive from the Father everything that he has for me. And I walk out that relationship in a very much more intimate way. And I think the Father Heart teaching was almost like trying to get people to the point where they actually believe that God was their Father. Now we need to actually walk out that in our own spirit and in our own soul, in intimacy with the person of the Father and engage him. So, you know, what does it feel like for the Father to embrace me? What does it feel like when the Father whispers his love to me? What does it feel like when the Father reveals his thoughts about me to me? How do I experience that? What does it mean when he speaks to me in that way? Well, it's totally different from looking to try and establish a relationship to actually knowing that I'm in one and walking in it. And now I recognize the Father and his fragrance and his sound and his voice as I recognize Jesus and I recognize the Holy Spirit as basically the reality of who they are, you know, and that is sort of deeper and deeper and deeper intimacy. But if you think about how amazingly wonderful God is and how vast and he is eternal and infinite, it's not going to happen overnight that we know everything about him. You know, we grow in our revelation and our understanding. And that's really how it then begins to develop and grow. So, yeah, I think many experiences that we're now beginning to understand.
And I think that is one of the awesome things about what God is revealing is that we now realize how much we don't know
about the
journey. And it does take courage and commitment, doesn't it, to go on the journey. And Regina is still struggling to get in. She's still trying.
Yeah, I'm sort of trying to get her to hang up and go in as a different profile.
I mean, that's, wow. Thank you for that. That's really good.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, is there anything else people want to ask?
Well, I'd like to ask about the cube, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I was reading something by Robin Main recently about the sapphire cube and about the tablets of Moses, but I didn't really want to get into distracted into that unless it's relevant. But just to ask you about the Sapphire Cube and about the cube generally, and I've taught a little bit in school in IT, so I looked at Fibonacci numbers and the way that God is a God of order and a mathematician, but I just wondered if you could set a context for that at all, if you wouldn't mind.
It's an interesting one. I mean, I personally, you know, wouldn't have got involved in engaging any of this stuff unless God had instigated it. You know, I don't sort of chase after things that other people put out there unless my spirit resonates. And for instance, I mean, I had encountered the Sapphire Cube, and I had encountered the whole aspect of Metatron's cube and what it meant before I'd heard anyone else start to talk about it. And then several people started saying, I'm seeing these pictures, I'm seeing these geometric shapes, you know, what is it, what's going on, you know, what are they, you know. And in doing that, what happened initially with me, I had an encounter in a sapphire cube, I mean literally in a cube, multifaceted blue, intense place of revelatory facets, which I was just looking into one of them, and it was like, wow, you know. And that cube, and a number of other people here also had the same, you know. So there was some, I knew God was up to something because there were similar experiences. We as a leadership went into an encounter where we stepped into heaven to engage something, and when we engaged back out, four or five of us had seen the same geometric type shapes from different perspectives, but we saw them. And you know, and some of those shapes are what made up Metatron's cube. I mean, I personally didn't I didn't know what that was at the time. I didn't fully understand that, but I saw some of these things, and I mean, some of the actual shapes of them are, you know, broken down are the different shapes of the cube, and when you look into it, you can actually see these different sacred geometric shapes. Now, the actual cube itself looks something like that. I've got sort of some other types of demonstration of the cube and how it fits together. That's what I engaged with, that type of thing, with the multi-facets within it when I first engaged there.
Yeah.
When I saw a shape of it, it was more that, and I was looking into that side of it, the two triangles of heaven and earth overlapping to form that Star of David shape. And you can look into it and you see there the three aspects of government. You can see different triangles. It's all about government. And these spheres, and there are 13 spheres within the governmental connection which draw those shapes, and they're governmental spheres within the realms of heaven. And they're multidimensional. Now, you know, what does all that mean? Well, that's the question. And you can sort of draw all sorts of engagements or meanings into what it means, but the reality is Metatron is the timekeeper and the keykeeper of the realms of heaven. He is one of the chief of the order of, he's the chief of the order of the chaos living creatures, and he's been given the keys to unlock times and seasons. And so the aspect of what this really means is how the government of God is orchestrated, how the patterns of government in the different spheres and the realms of heaven are connected. And of course, you know, you can see this in, you know, Fibonacci number sequences and how the geometry of Phi and how that basically shapes the whole of the created order. And this goes right down to the macro scale and the micro scale. So the whole of the spiral galaxies are all formed after Fibonacci number sequences, after Phi, the golden mean is another way of looking at it. Also, you know, the forces that hold together the fabric of space-time are formed in accordance to those sequences. And I mean, there's a really interesting TED lecture which someone posted, which this guy is talking about forces that hold all the dimensions together, and when he drew all these forces out, it produced the same shape, you know. And it was like, okay, this is something which is right in the fabric of everything, and it's being unveiled. Now, why is God unveiling it? Because he is. I mean, people are independently seeing these sort of shapes, are beginning to see the colors that are associated with different ways of engaging, but they are being unveiled. And I believe it's because God is wanting us to learn again how to understand how creation was ordered, and how, as sons, we are going to recreate this. You know, we are going to be responsible for engaging in the different dimensions and creating and ruling galaxies and different things in the age to come. So we need to understand how the kingdom functions. And there are many shapes of threes and fours and twelves and sevens and different numbers that make up the government of God and how God's government works together. And I believe some of this is drawing us to go into that. Now, when Moses was, you know, standing before God, and God was on the sapphire pavement, if you read in Exodus, there's a sapphire throne that's there, and he was given a sapphire cube. And that sapphire cube contained the record of God's governmental purposes for mankind. Okay. Now, of course, they messed up by rejecting it, and that cube was smashed. And then Moses, using tablets of stone, created the Ten Commandments. The revelation that he was given were patterns that formed the tabernacle and the various legal systems of how Israel was to operate. But the full revelation of heavenly governmental trading and authority and how the governmental systems worked was obviously not given because of their insistence to follow the golden calf, you know. So now I believe God is opening that back up and to give it to us as his people to begin to understand how the laws of Zion function and how the government of God outworks. I believe this is linked in with the circle of the deep and the 12 constellations, which are the 12 chancellor's houses. They're represented by that. And the alignment of those constellations in the stars of heaven. And I'm not just talking about the physical stars. I'm talking about the dimensional alignments of the four sets of three houses to create the circle of the deep and to release the fullness of heavenly government. It's a lot going on there right now. There's a lot of preparation taking place in the realms of heaven. I am I'm engaging with those 12 houses. I'm up to number 11. Just to try to understand the protocols, understand, and they're so multidimensional. I mean, they will apply to what we're doing here and now in bringing heaven to earth and setting up cities of refuge and establishing the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But they're also multidimensional. There are mysteries within the darkness that have yet to be unveiled and brought into the light that have never ever been seen anywhere. And I've sort of been looking into that place and seeing, well, how are these going to be released? Well, they're going to be released when the alignment of the governmental spheres of heaven and earth come back into cooperation with one another, and we learn as sons how God orders things, and that will be what we do. We will order things after the same patterns. And you see those patterns in so many things. Once you look into it, then you can see that this goes right down to, you know, the quantum level. It goes right up to, you know, gravitational fields and everything of how the macro level functions. But they're all linked, you know, and God established them all. And he's giving revelation of how his sons will do the same, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, I've only gone there because God opened up that, and people kept asking me as well, you know. I've only gone there because of that. God led me there. You know, it's not something I particularly was interested in. You know, you'll find a whole mixture of stuff when you look into it, because New Age people have got hold of some of it, and they are, you know, have their own take on it and various things, some of which there is truth in, but the reality is this is something which is beyond what sacred geometry from their perspective is presenting into understanding the government of heaven. But I mean, it's interesting, and God is just showing some people, you know, and you know, I don't necessarily agree with everything everyone's saying. I only share my own personal experience.
Yeah.
I don't know all of what some people have written about it. From my experience, I can share what I've encountered and where it's led me, and what it's opened up in terms of the journey to engage deeper and to go deeper into some things that God's unveiling right now. But yeah, I mean,
that's why I was asking, because when 2 years ago, when God gave me Aaron's rod, which I think I mentioned a while ago, I was given a sapphire at the same time. And since then, some things have been opening up. But it's on the periphery of what I'm doing at the moment. So I'm not really kind of pursuing it for its own sake. I was just aware that the sapphire was a sign. I didn't know what it meant. And the rod came first and then the sapphire. And the sapphire was a shared thing, and I had to deal with it appropriately, but because someone else was involved who, you know, but that's why I was, you know, you talked a bit about, I think you said something about blue shift last time, or something like that, and releasing the sound as blue light, and so I just wanted to ask you how the cube was really linked into that, so.
Yeah, I think it is, but yeah, for me, it's about the governmental spheres. So when I'm releasing blue wavelengths and frequencies of light, it's to draw people to the sound that's contained within those wavelengths that will draw people to government and draw people to their governmental places to cross over into this whole order that operates on the other side of the veil. That's really what I'm doing. You know, 5 years ago when I, you know, first started encountering heaven, God gave me a blue stone, a large blue stone. Now, I didn't think of it as a sapphire, I just saw it as a blue stone. He called it the Stone of Destiny, and he told me if I looked into it, I could see into other realms. So I began to look into it, and that's the first time I ever saw mountains, was when I looked into that stone, and it took me to show, and I went in and saw mountains, and saw different aspects of government. And I still have that stone, and I can still look into it. Most of the things that I'm looking into, I've been to. But sometimes I, you know, when I feel led, then I look, and it opens up some other things. That was just something God gave me. I had no understanding 5 years ago of what that meant or how to really to understand it. Certainly had no understanding of Metatron's cube or anything like that. But it's interesting that God, even there, gives you experiences or forerunners of things that then later on you think, well, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was why it was a blue stone, because this is something that's connected the whole blue color, the shift which was in that blue color, the blue light that we contain when we're in the realms of heaven. You know, I've seen God's face, you know, his actual person as blue, and sort of wisdom is blue. You know, blue seems to be, you know, wisdom's pillars always appears blue to me. It seems to be a very key color. You know, that's the color that seems most, I connect to most, you know. But it's one of those things. It's like, okay, what does that really mean? Just go with it. I mean, I just follow the leading of the Spirit, and God reveals what he needs to reveal as I'm hungry and desiring for more. And as I pursue him for more, he unveils things, and then they come together. You know, sometimes it's like it takes three or four different sorts of encounters that then triggers, oh, these are connected. And I see the connections, you know, having had the experiences. But now I do look for patterns. You know, I have an eye to see patterns of connections now. You know, and I now actually proactively look to look for symmetry and to look for patterns and geometric patterns and governmental patterns, You know, hence I'm sort of seeing some things, you know, different parts of the world which are outworkings of that, you know, or the beginnings of it, you know. But, you know, 5 years ago I would have had no clue. So it is a journey of discovery that we come into, you know, and we begin to realize that, you know, our spirit has received a lot more than our mind has yet. And I have a lot more information, revelation encoded within my spirit that I'm yet cognitively aware of. And when I release things from my spirit, then I begin to catch up cognitively in my mind. And I find myself doing things and saying things that I don't actually understand cognitively, but I'm just obeying and releasing things, and God does it. You know, and then later, sometimes I find the cognitive understanding of it, like particularly these blue lights and things. I didn't know what I was doing in reality, but now I'm more clear because I have now some understanding of it. I've been obedient, and then that has been released.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's really helpful. I've just had a revelation this morning about something he had me do when you were talking about Father Hart, and I thought, oh, yes, that's why he'd had me do that. So, I can definitely identify with that. Thanks.
But, you know, it is a relationship, and you know, relationships are different, and how God reveals things are different, and it's okay to be different. You know, we have to find how God relates to us and how we engage with him, not try and copy each other or try and, you know, look at someone else's encounter and try and make that encounter theirs, yours. Just use that encounter or that testimony as a doorway into your own, and then you will have your own testimony, and that will anchor you and enable you to go back into it, and it will become another doorway. And that's why I don't describe in detail a lot of the things, because I don't want people to just try and copy an experience. I want people to go into their own experiences and then have their own testimony, because it will be different. You know, that your what you see, the symbolism of it, will be different for you than me, because of you are different from me, and you're designed that way, and certain things will mean have great meaning to you where they wouldn't to me, and vice versa. You know, yes, there are actual places in the realms of heaven, but even when we encounter them, we often encounter them in a prophetic way to reveal to us something of the encounter that we can relate to. You know, if it's so beyond our frame of reference, it's hard to relate. And sometimes recently, and I've been engaged in some places pretty much out of my frame of reference, and it's been very difficult. You know, I've needed wisdom to help, and I've needed to meditate a lot around it to be able to get some, you know, some sort of understanding of it. Whereas other things have been really easy to understand because it's just been, oh yeah, because I have, you know, sort of a biblical symbolic background. Once you step outside of things that are just in the Bible into the things that are in the realms of heaven, obviously some of that is beyond our present experience, you know, and you just have to then use the relational engagement with God to make sure that you're following the right path. Obviously, you don't want to go be led astray, but there's no reason to, you know, think, well, I'm in the realms of heaven, why there's going to be something that's going to lead me astray. It's just I need to make sure that it's anchored in relationship, and then out of that relational engagement, just let the revelation be released, and then continue to pursue it. You know, it's like the desires of my heart are set on something that God has asked me to do, and I keep pursuing it, and those desires will draw me deeper and deeper into it, and then the engagements then open up that for me to understand it, you know, because I have to be able to teach it to other people. So I need part of my redemptive gift is to understand how things work and how they function to try and help other people understand them. You know, other people just go and engage them. Great, you know, that's great for them. I have a responsibility, and part of that in terms of my government is to release understanding of that revelation so people can can engage it themselves, which means it's different for me in that way. But you know, we're all different. We all have to find out it works for us.
No, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, we better leave it there because I've got another.